Daniel 9 is the most amazing prophetic chapter of all. And the reason I say that is, real quickly before we go, Daniel 9 is a prayer. Daniel is studying the Bible and he is praying through the scripture, praying for his people, praying. And all of a sudden his prayer is interrupted by Gabriel. And if Gabriel's important, Gabriel's the one that announces that Jesus is coming, and Gabriel's the one that is there and speaking into the events for the children of Israel. But Gabriel visits and gives to Daniel, in Daniel 9, verses 24 to 27, a very interesting prophecy. And we just have enough time to read it. So turn to Daniel 9. I want to show you something. You've never seen it before. This is the most amazing prophecy in the Bible. Basically, it has four parts. If you like three-point sermons with a poem, this is almost that good. It talks about the scope of God's plan for history in verse 24. Then it talks about a period of time called 69 weeks. Then it says there's this period where like the clock, is off at the game, when they're running around and measuring and everything, the clock's not running. There's an interval period. And then there's a final segment of time. And this 70th week is where we get the seven-year tribulation from. So let me show you what I mean by that. In your Bibles, verse 24. 70 weeks. Now, it doesn't really say weeks. It's actually an interesting term that in English would be the word heptads. It's like the word dozens. What does dozens mean? It means groups of what? Twelves, yeah. Heptads means groups of sevens. So this, a heptadic structure is revolving around the number seven. So it says 70 heptads are determined upon thy people. So what we're seeing is the scope of history, God says, is all, God has designed all history is surrounding the people he chose way back, 21 centuries before Christ. He chose them eternity past, but he revealed it to us in Abraham's time. The Jews, the descendants of Judah, the Yehudim, the Jews. So Daniel's people are the Jews, and God determines 70 heptads. What is 7 times 7? 7 times 7 is 49. So 7 times 70 would be 490. So God says, I have planned 490 years for the Jewish people. And not just for the Jewish people. Remember, the UN wanted to give them Rhodesia or something, some land out in Africa? Doesn't work. God says, I have put my plan for those Jewish people, and it's totally bound up with the holy city, the city of Jerusalem. And then he says, and this is a study in itself, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Wow, what on earth is that? There's only one thing. There's only one thing that finished transgressions, made an end of sin, reconciled iniquities, and brought in everlasting righteousness. And that's the cross of Christ. And so something in this 490 years involves Christ dying on the cross. And this 490 years also seals up the vision and prophecy and anoints the most holy place. So something big is happening. So that's what verse 24 is about, the scope. Part two, remember there are four parts, is the 69 weeks. Now look at verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem. So Artaxerxes tells them that they can go back and rebuild Jerusalem. So from that command unto Messiah the King. Now if you read the Gospels, you see that Palm Sunday, as we call it, Jesus comes in and they're saying, Hosanna, save us, and you're the King. And they say, tell the people to stop saying that. They told Jesus. He said, if they didn't say it, the rocks would cry out. Because it was a very important day to God. It was the day that Jesus Christ offered himself to the Jewish people as their King. And they rejected him as their King. And so he died as the Savior of the world. But what's interesting is seven heptads and 80 is 60 and 2. So we have 7 plus 60 plus 2. So we have 69 heptads, groups of 7, which equals 483 years. So something is going to happen in that time period. Basically, what he's saying is the 69 weeks go from when the commandment came from the secular king that they could restore Jerusalem until Jesus offered himself, you know, Zechariah 9:9, "Behold, your king comes, meek and lowly, sitting on the colt of a donkey." And when Jesus came riding into town on the donkey and they threw their clothes down, their cloaks, and put the palm branches, it was 483 years. Now, if you look on the calendar, actually it's 445 BC to 30 AD, and that's 475 years, but they have not always calculated years as 360 days. We have a Gregorian calendar. We also have the Julian calendar. There have been so many corrections. But if you look at Jewish years, which are 360-day years, not 364 and a half or 5 1/4 years, it's wonderful mathematics. The Royal Astronomical Society of Britain worked it out. But look what Jesus said when he came for Palm Sunday. "When he was come near," in Luke 19, "beheld the city, he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, at least in this thy day." Jesus said when he rode into town, it was their day. And it was what was promised would happen, that Messiah would offer himself as king. And then Jesus said, "Because you didn't know your day, the day will come upon thee, and the enemy shall cast a trench about thee, compass thee round, keep thee on every side, and mow you down." Basically, after the 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. That's the substitutionary atonement that Daniel 9:26. This is the heart of the gospel, that the promised Savior would be cut off, not for himself. And look at this, and this is where we'll have to pick up next time. This is fascinating. "And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city of Jerusalem and the temple." Now, we know when that happened. Notice it says after this Jesus announcing himself as Messiah, that the people of the prince that shall come, the Romans, are going to come and destroy the city of Jerusalem and the temple. "And the end, therefore, shall be with a flood, and unto the end wars and desolations are determined." Then, if you want to see a chart of it, verse 25 says there's going to be this 69-week period that ends at what we call Palm Sunday, or Christ riding into town, offer himself as the Messiah. Then after that 69 weeks ends, after it, Messiah would be cut off, that's the cross, and the city of Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed. And it just goes, you know, it's kind of like TVs used to go when the programming ended, just hummed. That's the interval. But verse 27 down here is what is the most remarkable thing. I stopped with you on verse 26. What does verse 27 say? If you look down at your Bible, it says, look at these words. "And he, the prince, shall enforce covenant with the many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause." You see, if you counted and did the math, there's 1 week left out. God has accounted for his time clock stopped after 69 weeks. And that stopping, after the clock stopped, Christ was crucified, Jerusalem was destroyed, and it's going to hum for a while. But the prince that shall come, wait a minute, what prince is that? The people of the prince shall come and destroy the city. Who destroyed Jerusalem? The Romans. What empire destroyed Jerusalem and the temple? The Romans. The people of the prince that shall come. So what it's saying is, that's where we get the revived Roman Empire. In the midst of the week, this prince that shall come, this Antichrist that is somehow involved with this revived Roman Empire, is going to enforce the covenant for 1 week. That's 7 years. There's where we get the tribulation from, right there. And in the midst of the week, now you've heard of mid-trib, that's where the middle is. The midst of the week, it will cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease.